Coming up on TMS PM, when do you know you have a problem?
How much do you want your Nutella?
Jessica Simpson done got sued.
50 Cent forgot how rich he was.
Cow comes to find new friends in a bison herd.
App time.
Yeah, and your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS PM. I have a hell of a headache, and I'm joined by Brian Ibbett. Hello.
Oh, then technically you have two headaches.
very well done. I took 800 milligrams of ibuprofen right before the show. Let's hope it does its dirty, dark work.
What is that? That's just two of the liquid gels, right?
Four of them.
Oh, two. That's right. Each one is 200. Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I went a little overboard, but I also...
Pounding the ibuprofen.
I ate a load of bread.
Ibupounding is what you're doing.
Ibupounding. That's it. Right there. I don't know what's going on with this headache. It feels like a storm headache, but this storm kind of came and then sort of fizzled out, and now it's kind of hanging over us again. I think that's what it is, something like that. I don't know. Welcome to the daily how is Scott's body reacting to barometric pressure with Scott and Brian. That's how it feels sometimes, right. You know?
Yeah, no kidding.
Anyway, we're glad to be here. I hope everyone's well. You're well, yeah? You're having a good day?
I am well. I'm doing just fine, yeah. Went out played trivia last night. We won.
Mm-hmm.
A cover song question came up. Had to identify the cover of Whiter Shade of Pale by Miss Annie Lennox of the Eurythmics.
I like her.
Yeah.
She's not still with Dave.
Dave Stewart?
Stewart, right?
No. I don't.
They're not doing
were those
work
two I don't think those two were romantically involved, though.
Oh, I thought they were.
They were just partners in music. No, I don't think so. Oh. I might be wrong.
All right. That's
but,
cool.
But I don't think they were in a relationship.
For some reason I had it in my head that those two are all hooked up and ready to roll.
You know what? I could totally be wrong about that, but...
I don't know.
By the way, in my hands right here, I'm waving it.
Yeah, paper.
Because I don't want people to, You ever see paper? This paper happens to be the contract for the Las Vegas Hotel at which we will be staying. I've perused it. I've had my lawyer look it over.
Mm-hmm.
It's in there. She got up from her perch and looked it over.
Great.
Sniffed the paper. Yeah. She looked it over, said, yep. I wouldn't be on that. And
so what does that mean? What does it mean?
That means I sign it, get it over to them, and Monday we should be ready to announce the deal, dealio.
Okay. What deal they can get. Now, what minimum number of people do we have to commit to this? Is there a minimum?
That's the best thing. None.
None?
No minimum.
They're just giving us a deal because why? You're notorious for coming to Vegas and spending money. That's why. They know it.
Right. Well, it's funny because... so far this year, and really I'm counting after Christmas or around the Christmas time because we went to Vegas then. But so far this year, between my trip around Christmas, my trip next week where I'll be 7 days from today, I'll be there in Vegas, and this trip in April, are all staying at non-MGM properties. And usually I'm very MGM loyal.
Yeah, very
like
centric.
Where I stay is MGM.
Sure.
Venetian. This coming up trip is going to be the Link next week. Maybe I shouldn't tell people that.
Well, listen, you can...
I'm going to go under an assumed name.
Okay. Beelzebub Von Nipple
Billy
Pissing.
Billy Fartgas.
Yeah. That won't give it away
the
at
third.
All.
Billy Fartgas the third.
You should have a room for me. What's your name? Billy Fartgas the third. Well, Mr. Fartgas, we do have your room. Here's your key. That'll be great. But this is a lot more trips to Vegas than you're usually taking per year, isn't it?
It is so far, yeah. I mean, I'm usually twice a year. Usually, there were a couple of years. I swear to God, there was 1 year, and it was a year where we drove through Vegas on the way to Nerdtacular, both on the way there and on the way back with Simon. That I think I went to Vegas, entered the proximity of Vegas, and left the proximity of Vegas 7 separate times.
Whoa, my Lord!
So, 7 trips in 1 year. That is a record that I'm fine not trying to break.
Yeah, that's heavy duty Vegas right there.
One of those trips was a week. It was a week long for the Trivia Championships of North America.
Jeez.
And 7 days in Vegas is about twice too long, twice as much, twice the length of the ideal stay.
If you're going, you're going to see people you know, I think 3 days is awesome. If you're on your own, get out of there in a day and a half or two at the max. Like, otherwise you're just going to hate Vegas. You want to love Vegas, so you want to just be there just enough, then get the hell out of there, and then come back
with
later.
That's the thing. Well, I mean, a trip like that, and any trip like that, where you're on your own, you can do, you know those, what was it? It was United Flight Magazine, Hemispheres, I think is the flight magazine. Mm-hmm. And they've got that article in there called 3 Perfect Days in Blank. Now that's if you're with your significant other, right? Your spouse, your wife, your girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, partner, whatever.
Right.
3 days. If you're on your own, man, I can knock out one of those 3 Perfect Days in a day. Like, I can hit everything that they're describing.
Yeah, no problem, right?
I used to have to do that, right? I'd be like, I'd go to see a newspaper, and I would schedule my trip to get there in the morning, have the entire day to check out that city, and then go to the hotel room, get up the next morning, go to the newspaper, go right from the newspaper to the airport and get the heck out of there.
Yeah.
So that first day, however early I got there, would be my day to like check out that city. And man, I knocked out Memphis in a day, Nashville in a day. There were a lot of cities where I just like, yep, all right. I feel like I've checked off every box that I'd want to check off in this city.
Are there any cities that you've been to where you're like, you know, I don't ever want to go there again unless Tina's with me or friends with me or something? Do you have any
I mean, any city where I've gone by myself, I don't feel like I ever need to go back there by myself anymore. Right. Yeah, like I feel like, yeah, I've done this area. I've done it solo. I've done the things I want to do, but it would be nice to go back here and bring Tina and like have her take her to some of these, a couple of these restaurants or go check out this venue or something like that.
Sure.
And,
sure. That makes sense.
I think, you know,
show you'd like, I just realized this, you would like that Somebody Feed Phil show that's on Netflix. Have you seen this at all?
Somebody Feed Phil?
Yeah, it's basically, so it's Phil, I forgot his last name, but he was the co-creator of Everybody Loves Raymond. So he worked with, he started out in stand-up and acting, and then he moved into kind of producer role, and then he produced a bunch of very popular shows, and the big one was Everybody Loves Raymond. Yeah, Phil Rosenthal, that's it. And he's like a young 50s kind of guy. Who is a huge food nut and loves, you know, traveling and food and stuff. So every episode is him going to some place that you might even think is kind of a shithole, like the worst part of Thailand or the crappiest streets of New Orleans. So some of it's in the States, some of it's in other countries.
Cool.
And then he goes around and finds like the best, most amazing. This one in Vietnam he did was incredible. Anyway, this reminded me, you saying that reminds me to tell you that I think you would really like that
I'll have to
show.
Check that out. Yeah. I like Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown. I like his take on things.
Imagine Anthony Bourdain, but not a dick. Imagine
less
that.
Dickish.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Imagine a guy who's not all uppity and will like hug a local and be really sweet and funny, and he Skypes his parents at the end of every episode.
I will say this.
Yeah.
I've never seen a guy in more need of facial hair than this guy. I mean, he looks like a he looks like a CPR dummy. He needs a beard. He needs a mustache and a beard.
He kind of does look like a CPR dummy. And he's always smiling. Like, he'll taste something and just go, oh my. He's like a little kid. I find him infectious. I really like it a lot.
He needs like a big, like a not a ZZ Top, but like a big fluffy grandpa beard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what else is great about it is he when he was over there, in these places, he would, like when he was in Israel, he would meet with the people who were the actors in the Everybody Loves Raymond for Israel. So I didn't even know that that was a thing.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that they had that.
Yeah, they used to do that. They'd have all these old sitcoms, and they would do, well, like we did with Survivor. Survivor is originally somewhere else.
There was a documentary about that. Was it Everybody Loves Raymond? But there was a documentary where they showed you the different localized country versions of a sitcom, a very famous sitcom.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, God, they just don't take the existing one and just dub it in a different language.
Right, they go all out, yeah.
New actors and stuff.
Well, I mean, we do it. The Office is one of those. I mean, Ricky Gervais was involved either way, but still, it was like a reimagining of the show for American audiences, and that's happened with, what was the other one I saw? A lot of British, we tend to take a lot of, House of Cards is totally a thing that used to be a British show.
Sure.
So I think that stuff happens. But I never knew our sitcoms went so far and wide. Animation, they just dub them. And maybe some shows they do. But they had this big fat guy who's supposed to be the Raymond of this other show. And I'm like, that's not Raymond, dude. He doesn't look anything like him. He doesn't go, arr! He doesn't do any of that stuff.
Oh, I hate my brother.
My brother. Mom.
You do that so well. You nailed that one.
I got a little Raymond way in the back of my throat.
Yeah. I know. You can't do that one for too long or else you really get like a zinger in the back of your throat. Yeah.
It starts to hurt. Oh, speaking of things that give you zingers and traveling the world and wondering what the hell's wrong with you. So I may have a problem and I think I should just air it right here. Scott Johnson has been doing what is the seemingly opposite thing he would normally do. I have gone on a record multiple times sharing publicly my disdain for most anime. I find a lot of it very, very annoying, and I still
repetitive
do. I still do, and the stories are terrible, and there's a lot of problems, okay? Mm-hmm. But obviously it has a place. People are really into it. Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon have huge anime libraries now. Of tons of content that you can get. Like we're in a weird, almost like a golden age of
tons of content
access.
You can get.
That's right. It isn't just Ghost in the Shell and freaking, you know, Akira. Although it turns out everyone's name is Akira in all these shows.
Yeah, right.
It's really
exactly.
weird. And Ryu. But anyway, I went on a tear and I can't stop now. I don't know what's going on. I told you the other day about Devilman Crybaby there on this show.
Yeah.
I'm about done with that. That is a weird show, but I am compelled by it. I don't know why. I just compelled. And it's super dumb. Super dumb. Like lots of dumb. Wall to wall. Shag dumb. Carpet dumb. Wall to wall painted dumb. Dumb. Just dumb. But I'm still into it somehow. And that drove me over to this like Trigun show that John recommended. And I'm kind of having mixed feelings with that. But then there's like Afro Samurai's really good. And I like the Samuel L. Jackson dub on that is amazing. And I watched, what's the other one? Oh, Knights of Similkrev. I don't know, some bullshit name that Bo recommended to me. And it's super cool sci-fi giant robot weirdness.
Oh, cool.
But they're all, every one of them's got like a moment where you're like, what are you guys doing? Why is there a giggly little girl for no reason? Or why is the bartender on the ship is a talking bear? Why? Why?
Right.
They don't explain it. They just have these little bits and things. But for whatever reason, I'm on the hunt and I can't get enough of it. So something's up with Scott. I got one of these things under my skin and I can't stop like going, oh, what's this? Oh, the Evangelion freaking robot ship killer men. Like terrible names and I'm into it. So call it what you want. Label me a hypocrite. I don't know. But anime, I'm back into it. I'm back in.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's super
well,
dumb.
if you end up watching, God, I'm looking at this massive list. I'm not going to read off this list, but I mean, it's everything from One Punch Man to Naruto Shippuden or Mobile Suit Gundam Thunderbolt or whatever.
Yeah.
You'll hear the voice of Tara Sands, who is also the voice of Bulbasaur in the Pokemon. She does a bunch of different voices, but Bulbasaur is her big one. We interviewed her for the Pokemon Go show, and she's talking all about how she does anime, having to do those voices. And it's like, because she'll do the American dubbing of the Japanese original action, or like the original acting.
Sure, sure.
So,
well, a lot of
she doesn't speak a lot of Japanese, so she has to kind of like, all right, I guess I'll say it like this, and they'll tell me if it's wrong, and they never do. And
I was talking to Liam about this. He used to, before the video game thing really took over for him, he was doing anime voices and localization, and they don't give you a lot of info sometimes. These studios just hand you a thing and say, go for it. So the reason it sounds so stupid sometimes is just because they didn't give you anything.
One take. We have half an hour in the studio. Just try and get through as many of these as you can, please.
Yeah. And also, you know, there's a mix of TV and movie, and sometimes it's hard to tell which one's what. Some of it is freaking dirty and nasty. Some of it is the most violent thing I've ever seen. Some of it is goofy and purely dumb and relationship based. Like there's a huge swath of available content for anyone who's interested in weird Japanese animation, but for whatever reason, something I normally don't really like, I kind of like right now. And this may change. It may all change. Someone in the chat, Dabbleman and Minik, however you say their name, said, ever play Ni No Kuni? Yeah, I played the first one. Very excited about the sequel. Now that was, but see, that's like the Ghibli deal, right?
Sure.
Or Ghibli or whatever.
It's kind of a starter. It's training wheels anime.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to. That sounds like we're underselling it because it's really incredible and world renowned.
Well, no, yeah, but I mean, it's very easily accessible to people who don't watch a lot of anime. Like,
very approachable. Very approachable.
It's the ham and cheese. What's it's the California roll of anime. You're eating sushi. Yeah. But you're not eating sea urchin yet. Sure. You haven't made it up to sea urchin.
Sure, you're not eating bloated puffer fish that'll kill you if they don't prepare it right.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. So you got food? What's going on?
Just the fact that I got a thing from Switch today. I'll have to check it out later. But a bunch of Switch games. This is funny. The name Ni no Kuni just reminded me of that. A bunch of Switch games under $10, digital downloads, and a lot of them are Japanese ports and stuff like Kamiko and Boost Beast, Bulb Boy,
sweet
Mighty Gunvolt Burst.
These all sound terrible. That sounds great.
Yes, exactly. Get them all for $10.
Yeah, I like Dumb. I'm a big fan of Dumb. I think that's what I'm glomming onto. And I do want to make this one distinction. Some people are like, "Oh, y'all should watch everything of these titles, but make sure they're subtitles, not dubbed." And I want to tell you, part of the reason I think I like this stuff is the shitty dubbing. I like bad dubbing. And a lot of times the subtitles are no better. Like, sometimes the subtitles make less sense to me. But at least with dubbing, you get people going, and blah, blah, you know, just right. Terrible, like, transition stuff. And I love bad acting dubbing, so I'm not... That's going to be my thing. I'm going to have to stick with that. And they have, and what's nice on Netflix is Netflix and Hulu, they've got all these language choices. So you can just listen to, you know, German dub, French dub, American or English dub, or you can do subtitles. Like, you can switch between them on the fly. It's pretty cool. So anyway,
wow.
There's that.
Very cool.
There's that. I knew people would enjoy that. But will they enjoy? Hold on. Will they enjoy this?
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
It's time for the evening news brought to you by nobody.
By the secret ingredient.
Secret ingredient. Oh, see, that makes my throat hurt to do that.
you can't be the chairman. Yeah, you can't do the chairman every day.
No, not every day.
For Quizon, yes, go ahead.
I could love that, too. For the same reasons, like the Japanese Iron Chef with the dubbing is so much better than not dubbed.
It's so much better. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So,
Pequizan, yes, go ahead. He's adding some sort of dairy product to the meat and grinding it up into a paste. Okay, well, I'll be excited to taste that later. Pequizan, yes, go ahead. He's putting in some sort of scallions. Okay, great. We'll taste that later, too.
Yeah, they kind of use the same patterns of speech, and it's great. It's so good. That's the way it should be watched. So all of you hoity-toity anime fans that are sitting there yelling at me going, "Oh, Scott, please, a true anime fan doesn't understand. You have to do non-dubbed." F off. I'm watching it the way I want to. And here's the other thing. John, who's an anime fan, John Jagger, said in a Slack conversation I had, where is it? I said, where do people stand? Oh, I said, is it bad that I also really like Afro Samurai? I assume anime fans don't like the approach with that one. It's a little more Western, you know, whatever. And John says, you know what? I don't think you get to like anime and judge other people's tastes. And that's a good point. If you already like anime, you are in no position to tell me what to like because it's all freaking weird and kind of bad.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. So good wise words from the internet's own John Jagger. All right, let's do the news here. Hey, France, I thought you were a peace-loving nation. Turns out you're not. The Nutella riots have spread across French supermarkets.
The Nutella riots of 2018.
That's right.
Hide your kids. Hide your wife.
They're coming after
you. They're Nutella-ing everybody around here.
They're spreading chocolate on everything all up in here. A discount on Nutella has led to violent scenes in a chain of French supermarkets as shoppers jostled to grab a bargain of the sweet spread or on the sweet spread. I'm not going to say this right. Intermarché Marquettes. Supermarkets. Oh my gosh. I didn't talk to you, Siri. Go away. I'm sorry. I don't know where that is, she says. Anyway.
She's trying to get you some Nutella.
Yeah, that's why. They offered a 70% discount on Nutella, bringing the price down to €4.50.
No, bring it down from €4.50 down to $1.40.
$1.40. That's cheap.
That is cheap.
Mm,
I mean, Nutella. I don't know what the euro to dollar is, but a 70% discount on Nutella is
It's not bad.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad. Well, police were called.
Slathering all over my body.
Ooh. All right. Let the dog lick it off, or what's the plan there? What do you think?
Oh, geez. Well, all right. Never mind. I guess I hadn't thought that far ahead I would do with it after that.
So that's why you got a plan.
Got to be ensconced in Nutella.
Oh, I talked to my wife about your cheese plate word yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she goes, I go, hey, honey, I was testing her. I go, hey, honey, what do you call a cheese plate with a little bit of meat and cracker crap on there and all that thing, that little presentation? And she immediately knew the word. Oh, yeah, that's a charcuterie or whatever. And I went, oh, shit. The whole world knows.
And it's funny, after looking at it, it looks like you can have an all-meat charcuterie plate, but not an all-cheese charcuterie plate. You've got to have some meat.
Oh.
It doesn't, and preferably mostly meat.
Okay, why though? I mean, I guess that's just the way it's the word is.
I think charcuterie, probably the roots of that are butcher influenced, right? Like
we used to charcute our cows, or
right, wherever the root is. I mean, I guess it would be a French word, charcuterie.
Charcuterie. Well, yeah. Here's the deal.
Anyway,
the police, speaking of fighting Frenchmen, police were called when people began fighting and pushing one another. They are like animals. A woman had her hair pulled. An elderly lady took a box to her head. Another had a bloody hand. According to a customer who told the French media. You know, the French media.
French media.
Is that all there is? Is one...
French news.
French news.
French news. Fake.
French fried news. a member of staff at one Intermarché shop in central France told the regional newspaper Le Progrès... Progrès, I don't know how you say it. We were trying to get in between the customers and they were pushing us. All of the stock was snapped up within 15 minutes and one customer was given a black eye, according to the reports.
Wow.
So I ask you, Brian, what thing in a store could go 70% off that you would fight over? Is there such a thing?
I don't think there's anything that I would have a physical altercation with people. I would get... You know, I'm sure there's something that if it were 70% off, I would like, oh, I got to make sure I'm there as early as possible in the morning to try and get one.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly wouldn't attack anybody or push or hit anybody to get one.
I mean, we're famous over here for what? Those stupid dolls in the 80s. What were those things called? Cabbage Patch dolls.
Yeah, right.
That was ugly.
Well, Tickle Me Elmos, I seem to remember. Hatchimals fairly recently would cause some fervor in the aisles.
I didn't know.
Did you find out, by the way, do you have any Toys R Us's near you that are closing?
Yeah, two of them, one in Ogden and one in Midvale. So
yeah, we don't, the closest one is across the city in Aurora, and I don't think I want to go to Aurora
to get some deals,
Pokemon or whatever, you know.
Well, problem too. Midvale's not too far. It's probably 25 minutes or something, but for me to get to Ogden is like an hour or hour and a half or something.
Yeah.
So I'm not doing that. Besides, what are they gonna, what deals am I gonna? Seriously.
Right, exactly. Well, and it's even, it's even not necessarily going to be good deals. It's going to be, because a company swooped in or sometimes when companies go out of business, another company will swoop in, buy them out, buy out their stock, and then they're able to sell whatever they want in the store as well. So it may be a bunch of stuff from Toys R Us mixed in with a bunch of DVDs or, stuff that normally... You wouldn't normally see in a Toys R Us mixed in from this other company that's trying to unload a bunch of crap like that.
Yeah, it bums me out. There's 100-something stores being closed, and most of them are in California, but they're spread everywhere. And
yeah,
I don't know. They're doing a restructuring, trying to figure out what their role is in the future. It may be too little, too late, but it'd be a weird time to be something like Toys R Us in this world. I don't know how you do it.
Buxley was saying in Ray the other night that his daughter. Is that right? Does Buxley have a daughter that's old enough to work for Toys R Us Corporate?
Oh, yeah. He's old.
Yeah.
He's older than us. Right. He's way older than us. He's older than Daryl, I think.
What? Really?
Yeah. I think so.
I never would have guessed that.
Well, I mean, Daryl plays like he's the oldest person on the planet sometimes.
Right.
He's so grumpy.
But anyway, so he's got a daughter. Buxley has a daughter that works for Toys R Us Corporate. And,
my internet sucks.
Oh, poo. I can't make a call from my desk, poo.
We love you, buddy. All right, what else? 50 Cent. You know 50 Cent?
50 Cent, I do. I know that he's going to party like it's his birthday. Mm-hmm. He's going to drink Bacardi. mm-hmm. like it's his birthday.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to care because it's his birthday.
Yeah, he's, you know, famous for rapping. Does the rapping.
Yeah, does the rapping.
Well, now he's famous for being kind of a dope, but also making a ton of money he didn't know he had. 50 Cent says, or 50, sorry, says, I forgot about taking 700 bitcoins for his 2014 album. That 700 bitcoins stake is now worth millions of dollars.
Oh my God. Wow.
When 50 Cent agreed to accept Bitcoin for the purchase of his 2014 album, Animal Ambition, a unit of cryptocurrency was already worth hundreds of dollars. But the value of those sales has since skyrocketed, and the rapper's Bitcoin holding is now worth a reported $7.5 million. Not bad for Kiff the South Side, he says. I'm so proud of me.
I'm so proud of me.
Yeah, he did. He, in addition
to- I'd be more proud of me if I would have held on to that Bitcoin and, you know, and like,
sure,
sold for a lot more.
He,
what does he know? He's only familiar with half dollars. He doesn't know from Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah, no, this whole thing is only worth like $4.2 million now because it's half of everything. Is that all? No, it's really 7.7.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But it'd be funny, see, because 50% off right, every 50 cent. Yeah, 50 cent. Yeah.
He's he gets 50 cent on the dollar.
One testicle. he's got one eye, one good eye. He has a lactating breast. The other one's just dormant. Half of everything for 50 cent is functional.
Right. Right. He's not fit. If he's not 50%, he's 50 cent.
Oh.
He's four bits.
Yeah, but he's half, right? He's half of a dollar.
He's not half of anything. I mean, if your standard is quarters, he's twice of that. Oh, twice the man of that.
That's a good point.
He's 50 cents.
He's the cost of me or you playing Dragon's Lair in 1985.
Right, exactly. Oh, yeah. That was the 50 cents that went quickly for me.
So he got around 700 bitcoins as payment for his album. And at the time, they were only worth several thousand dollars. No big deal. Just no big deal. But now 7.7 million? Oh my gosh, this pisses me off that I didn't buy any Bitcoin in 2014. Mm. Right. Why didn't I do it? Although I keep hearing that it doesn't matter because it's really hard to get your money out of it. So for some people, it's like you don't really have anything. And when it drops, when it crashes again, then then what do you do? This is like too volatile right now. I don't know. I have friends who like swear that they're making like $1,000 a month just mining Bitcoin, let alone owning anything.
Well, yeah, Gary Leland, Podcast Pickle Man, is big into cryptocurrency and Bitcoin. Like, he's been sending me pictures of his servers. He went and built servers to do his mining and stuff.
They're buying up all the graphics cards. It's like the weirdest market.
I think so, yeah.
All GPUs. You get like a 6-array GPU, all out in the open, no case, because you got to have lots of air on that thing. Mm-hmm. And they just sit there and crunch numbers all day. While some poor gamer at home's like, I can't find a video card for less than $10
million. The aftermarket, how come I can't get a Corsair G75 anymore?
It's true. It's true. They're creating an artificial shortage. It's super weird. Anyway, I don't understand that world, but there it is. Final story, a cow walked into the, decided he didn't like domestic life. You know, just like a cow you'd milk or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Ran off and joined a Polish bison herd. And they are fine with it. They're like, come on in. The water's fine. Domesticated cows surprised Polish naturalists by spending the winter living with a herd of wild bison in the primeval forest. I don't know what that word is.
Sure.
Bialowieza.
Bialowieza. It's a Polish name, so might be a V. W might be pronounced like a V. Bialowieza.
There you go. Nailed it. It sounded Italian the way you did it.
But. It kind of did, yeah. But like, 'cause I said it like it is.
Yeah. The cow chose freedom by running away from a farm last autumn and has been seen lingering on the fringes of the herd for some 50 bison in the forest. Ornithologist Adam Zerbert.
I know. That's a Scrabble word if I ever saw one.
Z-B-Y-R-Y-T. That's all the points. Nice.
Zerbert. Adam Zerbert.
Was the one to spot the cow. He made the news in November when he told their local channel, it's not unusual to see a bison near the forest, but one animal caught my eye. It was completely different, and turned out it was a cow. Dropped his initial idea that it was a mutation, and got closer and realized, oh, yeah, this cow freaking took off.
It's a cow. Yeah. Wow, real zoologist there.
Yeah, really earning his paper on his wall.
As I got closer, as I approached the animal, I realized then and there that it was a cow.
It was a cow the entire time. Anyway, there's your stories. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got some stuff. So come on back for all that. We got a little inline Dan the Tabletop Man submission. We're going to play that today.
Nice.
App time. I got my favorite app of 2018. I'm so excited to talk about it.
Wow. Wow. Heady words, Johnson.
I'm so excited about it. I've been waiting for it. I've been following it. And now it's out. And I'm stoked. And it is a game. So come back and hear about it because you're going to want to get it on your Android or iOS device ASAP. Also, we'll do Twitter questions. Before all of that, though, Brian has to play music because he signed a deal that says he does. What is it?
Yes, for your Indie in the Middle today, we've got music, brand new music from Krista Wells. This is a new one that is dancey. You can dance to it. But the lyrics are really more about speaking to quieting ourselves and becoming better listeners. Ooh, you'll have to listen to the lyrics to understand what she means by that. Video is coming out in a few days, so make sure you keep an eye out for that. But this is Krista Wells and the brand new song, Down, Down Low.
Sometimes you gotta go dark. Sometimes you gotta be quiet. Sometimes you gotta get far from the voices that stir up violence. Everybody wants to talk. Nobody wants to listen. Everybody wants to talk. Nobody wants to listen. You gotta get down, down low. You gotta turn it down, down low. You gotta take it down, down low. You gotta get down low. Sometimes you gotta go first. Sometimes you gotta be sorry. Sometimes you're gonna get hurt and go back to where you started. Everybody wants to win. Nobody wants to listen. Everybody wants to win. Nobody wants to listen. You gotta get down, down low. You gotta turn it down, down low. You gotta take it down, down low. You gotta get down. Sometimes you gotta be quiet. Sometimes you gotta get far from the voices that stir up violence. Everybody wants to talk. Nobody wants to listen. Everybody wants to talk. Nobody wants to listen. You gotta get down, down low. You gotta turn it down, down low. Take it down, down low. You gotta get down low.
All right. I know I say this a lot, but I really like that song.
I thought you might, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a, Feist is the, you know, kind of the comparison that I think of when I hear that, but really, really love that song.
Who does, what's the song I'm thinking of? Is Feist just a lady?
Feist is just a lady.
Right. She's not a band.
She might argue that she's more than just a lady, but.
Oh, yeah. You know, this is who I'm thinking of. Oh, here she is. Okay, wait. Let me.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, that's totally who I was thinking of. Very similar to that, which is good.
Yep. Also, the who's the woman that did the cherry tree, black rock and the cherry tree? No, oh my God, why can't I think of that? Black horse.
I don't know.
Cherry tree. What am I thinking of?
Black horse and the cherry tree. Never can tell a lie. I don't know. I have no idea.
Black horse and the cherry tree is. People know I'm talking about KT Tunstall is who I'm thinking of.
Oh, I know
that song. You totally know that song.
Yep, I know what that is. I know that song. Yeah. And I would buy this is I would get more of this person's stuff. This is good. It's really good. Yeah. All right then. Hey everybody, welcome back. We're gonna do I'm gonna do this out of order a little bit. We're gonna do this right now. Oh yeah, that's right. Get your phones ready, get your iPads ready, get your tablets ready.
App Slappy.
All right, it's App Slappy time where we go through apps that we've been using that we like that we otherwise think we should recommend to you. Now, I have been keeping my eye on for a very long time a little app known as Meteor Fall. And you're going, what? Scott, never heard of it. Well, that's because you haven't been paying attention like me. I've been paying serious attention.
Wow, okay.
It was a game by just a couple of dudes, a developer and his artist friend and that sort of stuff. And I loved immediately the look of it. The trailers were great. It's yet another game and a long line of games that I would play that are like, here's a very simple card game that has also got RPG elements and it's a roguelike. All these things I love thrown together again in a nice little package, and best yet, not a pay to play or a free to play game.
Right. It is not a freemium.
It's a $3 game. You pay them, mm-hmm. you support a developer, and you get a rad game, and the game is all there is. There's no in-game purchases. There's no weird, you get more crystals, you can make it go quicker. None of that. None of it, which I love, and I'd love to support that. So, here it is, Meteor Fall. I'll play a little musicy music.
Okay.
Sorry, that's the logo there. Slothworks is the name of the little group. Hear this here?
Okay. Oh, wow. That if that doesn't already speak to you.
Yeah, jeez. It does. And it's very simple. You're in this like tavern. I hit start. This big bear hand comes out and lays out these cards, and I get to decide, do I want to be a wizard? Sorry, this is bright. Wizard, a warrior type guy, a sneaky little rogue lady, or a sort of a warlock lady. And they're all very goofily art styles. They remind me of like if my daughter and the guy who made Adventure Time had a baby. That's what this art would look like. And you can choose one. Like, I would choose Greybeard, and he has certain abilities, a powerful wizard and resident old guy of Meteor Fall Talon. And I hit go, and then this big bear hand comes out and moves the cards and then throws the cards on the table and gives you a little info about the story. And then, oh, there's a card. And then I choose where I want to go. Let's see, swamp or desert. This is all very random so far. Okay, you just pick where you want to go. Now I've got cards and a monster to fight. Now here's the part I like the most. She's a harpy. She has 5 hit points. She also has 5 action points. And you have 3 turns to do what you want. So 3 actions with your own cards.
Okay.
And then it's their turn to do the same thing. Now sometimes you can add more turns because you have a card that gives you more. Or some other circumstance will give you less because you've been cursed or something. I can freeze her and she's frozen for a whole turn. That sort of stuff. But if I want to fight her, I have to decide right here if I do, and I do, so it's as simple as thumb on the cards, aim it at her, fight. That's it. Now, if I wanted to run away, I go left. Think of it as like,
Tinder. Swipe left if you want to run away to another.
It's like Tinder in that way. You're absolutely right. So this one, my first one is a sap mana spell. I'm going to totally use it.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to use, I killed her already and got the money because I'm way OP because I played last night like crazy. So I have all these unlocks, and I'm super powerful now. But anyway, you just continue on. Now, it's random. Every encounter is random. They are different depending on the area you went to. You see that you have 15 encounters that can be characters to kill or a treasure chest you come upon. Or you get to, what's the word, like blacksmith some cards you already have and give them more power. This all happens as you go, and then on the 15th one, you fight a boss. And if you beat that boss, you move on to the next challenge. And the better you get at the game, which oftentimes means dying and then beefing your dude up, you know, pregame by buying stuff you can buy with this currency in here, then you go back out again. You're better this time than you were the last time. I mean, typical roguelike game, right?
Yeah.
And I love how it's like people are just goofing around in a tavern. That guy's yanking on a guitar for no reason. It's a lot of mumbling. It's got a great atmosphere. Anyway,
it's very cool.
It's
I
super
love
cool.
The look of it.
And
yeah.
the animation's really great. The sound effects are great. It's a very simple, straightforward game, but there's a ton of depth here. And some of you out there are like, well, Scott, what did I compare this to? So I can understand a little bit more.
It reminds me a lot of Card Crawl.
There is a lot of Card Crawl quality to it. So if you already like those kind of Card Crawl and that what's that magic one called that we liked that they did, people did?
The Alchemist, Magic Alchemist or something like that?
Alchemy, Magic Alchemy?
Something like that, yeah.
Whatever it is. The one where you make the potions. Mm-hmm. If you like games like that already, no brainer, done deal. This is exactly what you want. This is right in that vein, for sure. But also, I would compare it favorably to something like, there's a very popular game on Steam right now called Slay the Spire, and it's the same idea. It's, you have a deck of cards, you build it as you go, you fight dudes, you go to the next one, it's all random, you die, that's okay, because you take back some cards that you earned, and now you can do cooler stuff the next time. It's like the same loop. If you like that gameplay loop, this is great, and maybe my favorite of all these kinds of games. So,
I like that a lot. Yeah, I'm buying it. You just made them another $3 for me at the least.
All right, good.
People, by the way, if you're looking for this, it's Meteorfall, one word, Journey. Meteorfall Journey is the name on the App Store. So.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I didn't realize that had a subtitle thing.
Yeah, on the title page, it just says Meteorfall. But
yeah, that's all I've ever known it as.
And it says it in two words, but when you find the App Store, Meteorfall is one word.
Well, it just hit yesterday. It's available or is it 2 days ago? Whatever it was. It's available for iOS and Android simultaneously, which is also awesome. They deserve support. If what I described to you sounds anything like the kind of sort of independently developed roguelike sort of, you know, light RPG style games, if any of that sounded fun to you, I guarantee you're going to like it.
Cool.
It's delightful, and it's my favorite app of the year. I love it. So there
That's
you go.
Cool.
Meteorfall.
Really cool.
Yeah. So go check that out. Brian, what'd you bring?
I brought something, Scott, that you can get on the App Store. You can get it on Google Play for your Android-eel devices. Uh-huh. You can get it on the Mac App Store, so you can play it on your Mac. Or you can even get it on Steam. Oh, my God. It's available in just about every format you could possibly want, except for your Trio. You won't be able to play it on your Palm Trio 650. So good luck with that.
Sure.
But anyway, and this is a game that somebody reminded me of on Twitter. I've got a folder where I keep new games that I check out that I need to talk about on AppSlapping. This one's been sitting in there for a couple weeks. But I'm totally digging this. It is kind of a mix of... it's like a much better version of Where's Waldo, which is funny because you just reposted an old Where's Waldo.
Oh, yeah.
Where isn't Waldo thing.
Yeah.
The game is called Hidden Folks.
Okay.
And it is a black and white Where's Waldo kind of thing, where each level doesn't just have one person you're trying to locate. You're trying to locate a bunch of people. The very bottom of your screen shows you what you're looking for, who you're looking for. And when you click on it, it tells you a little bit about that person that might help you locate them. So the one I'm looking at right now is like a giant farmland with a bunch of rolled up bales of hay. There's a Winnebago. There's a pig pen, a cow pasture, ducks. And it's big enough that you have to zoom out and zoom back in on other places and other things like that. It's also completely in black and white, so you can't look for, like, stripy red hat guy.
Yeah.
But the other cool thing is it's completely animated. You're not looking at a static image. You're looking at an image where people are waving their arms or moving from place to place, and that actually gives you kind of a clue as to who you're looking for.
All right.
So, for example, I'll tap on this guy down here, and it says, it's time to get some fruity physics into Newton's head. And apparently the guy's name is Newton that I'm looking for. This dude's sitting on the ground wearing a tie. Well, my guess is he's probably not going to be – I'm not going to bother looking for him over in the pig pen. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing from that clue I'm going to go over to where there's a bunch of trees, especially apple trees, and look underneath the apple trees. And sure enough, somewhere – there he is right there. I tap on him, and he waves, and then that one's got a little check mark next to it on the bottom.
Okay, interesting.
This game is a blast, and it's way more fun than you'd think it'd be just being like a little search and find. There's also way more interactivity with it because sometimes those people are hidden in places that you can't see immediately. For example, there's an outhouse over here, and I'm guessing that if I open the door of the outhouse, all of a sudden there's going to be a dude sitting in there.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, that dude might be somebody I'm looking for, might not be, but it's still... You'll see these things, and even before you're looking for anybody, you're like, oh, there's a door. What happens if I open that little door right there? Oh, there's a person in there. Or, I can open the top of this Winnebago over here, or water these plants or whatever, and things grow, and you might be looking for a flower or something.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool. It's like a living Where's Waldo book.
Yeah, I like how everything animated. I have this as well, and I would argue that there are the two best formats for this are iPad Pro, given the size.
For sure.
Or yeah. It's on Steam as well. So if you want this in a way that's like a big screen in front of your face so you can get a little more detail, that version is also pretty good.
100% would say, yeah. If you've got an iPad Pro, this is, again, a no-brainer. It's like $399. Totally worth it. No-brainer to pick it up if you've got a large format tablet or even like an iPad, you know, the full-size iPad, not necessarily the iPad Mini.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can zoom in and stuff, and you can kind of get an idea. It's like, all right, well, I'm looking for somebody around a lake, so I guess I can just zoom out and find that lake and then zoom into that lake to kind of see what I'm looking for.
Sure.
But, man, this thing is such a blast. It's
really
love
good.
Love it.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. I love the art of it. It makes me want to draw stuff like this. Like, it makes me want to make a giant black and white mural. In fact, you know what? This is funny you say this, because the game's not too super new.
It's
been around for a while. But I don't know if you saw, I don't know where it is so I can show you, actually. Here, let me do this real fast.
Well, it came out in 2017. It was the 2017 game of the year.
Yeah, it was last year.
And Tim Cook even raves about it, saying, I'm sure my niece will spend many hours in this product.
Yeah, well, you know, he knows what she likes. And that product is definitely going to be interesting to him. Sure seeing a lot of him lately, by the way. A lot of Tim Cook walking around. Okay, I'm putting this in our
Discord
so you can see it. This thing that I drew, and you can click it to zoom.
I totally remember you doing this.
Yeah,
when I drew this, this
was inspired, or the idea to go and do it was from playing this game.
Yeah, I totally believe that.
Yeah, I was like playing that game on the self-same iPad this was drawn on, and I went, oh, I'm going to go draw something cool in black and white. And it was based, I mean, it's obviously very different, but it was based on that whole idea.
So great. Yeah, it's one of these things that you can look at forever and see new things every time you look at it.
Yeah, I love that. Anyway, that's a good recommendation. If you haven't already picked it up, doesn't matter if it's a year old, play it now.
Yeah.
It's really good. Holds up.
Again, one more time, it's called Hidden Folks.
Yep. It's really good. And they have some, didn't they release some new scenarios or something for it?
They added new snow scenarios.
You said that.
So there's skiing and snowball fights and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's so much stuff in here. You're not going to get bored.
As it should be.
Yep.
All right.
Well, we're going to do something today like we did last week, and that is we're going to take a tiny little break and let you guys listen to some recommendations from Dan the Tabletop Man. And when that's over, we'll come right back and get to your questions. Here's Dan.
Greetings, programs. It's Dan, the Board Game Man here. Today, we're going to start off our four-part series on the top 11 board games of the year for 2017. Why 11, do you ask? Well, as we all know, 11 is one more than 10, and since most people just go to 10, we go to 11 because all things are better at 11. First, our rules for the top of 2017. For most lists and such, they go with anything and everything that came out in 2017. Me? I go with a special board gaming list that starts with from Essen of 2016, which is the Germany games fair out there, and it ends in Essen 2017. Mainly I do this because who the heck plays games that aren't even available in the U.S. at the end of the year and includes them on a top 10 list? That's entirely too elitist or hipster for me, so I just go with the games you can actually play in the U.S. So for a few of these games might technically have been released in 2016, but since the fiscal Dan gaming year goes from that S&S, and we call these 2017. So today we got the first two of the list so that we can get through a little four-parter. I'm going to talk a little bit more about each game rather than just throwing a list at you. First one, we got number 11, Clank in Space.
Clank in Space.
Clank was a deck-building game that came out in 2016, and in 2017, they released a standalone sequel for it as Clank in Space. It's much larger, and even though it's a bit more complex or meatier, it's really not all that harder to learn and play. It just gives you more of what you loved in Clank, and just gives you a lot more of it, and kind of a lot of times in the original Clank, by the time it was over, you felt like you were missing a little something. But Clank in Space really gives you a little bit more there. So in Clank in Space, you're attempting to infiltrate an alien ship and turn off all the things in there, acquire other things for, of course, points. And you do this by playing cards from your hand and acquiring more cards in the game. Thus, that's the deck building element. What makes this series great is the most deck building are just cards out there. Most deck building games, you have just like Ascension, Dominion, Thunderstone. They're just the cards. This series, the Clank series, it uses deck building and a board so that you're also moving around on the board itself. So you're doing other things in it just than throwing out the cards. Also, there are factions on a card that you can buy the different cards and it chain off each other to give you other effects. So everyone loves to put together combos and do cool things. So Clank in Space lets you do that, and it lets you feel like you've accomplished something as you're playing and getting those other cards. So that's number 11, Clank in Space by Renegade Game Studios. Number 10, this is by Ares Game. This is a bigger dungeon crawl. I've kind of mentioned this on TMSPM in the past, but this is a dungeon crawl co-op game called Sword and Sorcery. And holy crap, is it good. It may not be Gloomhaven good, but it is really, really good. It has that more of a fantasy feel. It's only about 7 scenarios long, but it's really pretty deep. The real good thing about it is the AI is great in Sword and Sorcery. That's one of those hard things to get right in co-op dungeon crawl games. The AI, where you can move things around and tells you when they spawn. Some of them will spawn as like elite versions of themselves, which have other powers, and then some of them are just kind of normal. But this is one thing that Sword and Sorcery gets right, how the monsters work and such, and it makes it a lot challenging. Some of them can be a little unchallenging out there. Some of the dungeon crawls are a little easier, but being that the AI is good, it makes it a lot of challenge. And you can play this from 1 to 4 adventurers. You can probably take, I'm sorry, you can actually play 5 players, but don't play it 5 players. It's going to take you forever. Each one of these scenarios is about 1 hour to 1.5 hours, so not too long. Rulebook isn't too bad. Pretty much you need one person to look through the whole thing. I know Scott is very averse to rulebooks, but if one person knows, and by the time you're done with the first scenario, man, you know exactly what you're doing. So you can just hop right back in. You can bag up each person and play it next time, play another scenario next time, bag each person's different character and such, and it's nice and easy to throw it back on the board and get right back into the next scenario. There's a scenario book that has a great story. It's a little typical, a little tropey, fantasy type, but whatever. It's really it's a solid game. So that is Sword and Sorcery by Ares Games. Came out, like I said, this past year. Just an amazing game. So there's the beginning of the top 11 of 2017. Next week, we'll have 3 more games to go over as we head closer to the game of the year for 2017. I am Dan or Geek Jock. Check me out on Twitter at Geek Jock Blog, or check out the Geek All Stars podcast, and we'll see everyone next time.
And we're back, everybody. You didn't hear it live, but you heard it on the hard drive.
That's right.
Good job.
He said meeple.
Meeple. A lot of times probably said meeple.
And chits. I think he said both chits and meeple.
Totally. All right, here's this.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
That's Rick Perry, our current energy secretary and idiot, who wants us to check out Twitter, and that's what we do. Here on the show, we check out your Twitter questions. Ask TMS is the hashtag. You've been using them all week and today, and we're going to start with some stuff here today. Peter Fisher says this. If we go to the Vegas get-together, Coverville, will the hat make the journey as well?
Oh, for sure. Not the hat. The hat, the classic hat, is right there. It's been retired. It sits on top of the gorilla's head, and that's where it shall stay.
Wow.
But there's a new hat. So
okay.
I wore the new hat to Anaheim, I think. So
I saw you wearing something, but I didn't know if it... I mean, the old one's not... I shouldn't call it retired, but it's not... It's no longer in the service condition it used to be, right? Like,
oh, no, it's still in great condition. I mean, I take care of my hat, Scott.
Yeah, that's true, you do.
I don't bash my hats, but...
Hell no.
Yeah, so new hat will make the journey.
All right. This is good news. Yes. How about this one? Where are we here? Scott Lee says...
God. Who, if I were to get somebody to sign that hat, should it be Jury and Schwood?
No.
Should it be Todd Cochran? Should I get Todd Cochran to sign the hat?
I think you should have what's his name sign it, the wrestler guy that was on stage.
Oh my God, you're right. Yes, yeah,
he's your guy.
Totally.
What's his name? Toad Sprocket, Fart Knuckler. What's his name?
It's a name and an adjective, if I remember correctly. It is
Chris Jericho. That's it.
Chris Jericho. That's not an adjective.
No, it's a name. It's a TV
show. It's a name in a popular CW TV show.
Yeah, or was until it.
Or died. Was. Yeah.
Until they canceled it, because it wasn't very popular. But yes, right. If you could get Chris Jericho, famed wrestler and podcaster, to sign that, because he's the one that made the comment, right?
Funny hat guy.
Yeah, he's
the one. Oh my God, it's funny hat guy again.
Yeah, he couldn't believe it. He was freaked out. Or that sex lady, she could do it too. That'd be fine.
Sex with Emily.
Yeah. I can't remember her name. She's just a sex lady to me.
Sex lady. Yeah, well, you know.
That's good.
Everybody's got their something.
What is the furthest you've ever traveled to eat something? Like, specifically traveled to get that thing to eat? You had nothing else on your destination, just food. So, Brian, I have an answer for this, but I want to hear yours.
That's a really good question. I think... Now, look, I'm going to say this. We didn't spend the night there like other people did, and we didn't go there on opening day.
Mm-hmm.
But we did drive across town when the first Krispy Kreme opened up here in Colorado to go get a dozen donuts, a dozen Krispy Kremes.
We did that, too.
Yeah. I'm not I'm not proud of it.
I'm not either. I mean, not of you. You're fine. But of me. Right. I did it. I wasn't proud at all of that day.
Yeah.
It was dumb.
But what is that? I mean, that's like, that's about 25 miles to get. I mean, there've been times that I've gone to fancy restaurants, or not fancy, but there've been times that I've gone to restaurants that aren't like a chain, that there's one close to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, well, let's go, you know, down to the Denver Tech Center for dinner down there. But yeah. That doesn't seem like a weird occurrence.
Yeah, if I was like some rich dude, and let's say I was like Frank Sinatra, putting everybody in my private plane and flying them to France.
Frank Sinatra is like the epitome of wealth to you.
He seems like the kind of guy that would say, "Here's my private plane. Let's go to France and eat lunch."
Sure.
Seems like, hey boys, get in the plane. We're gonna go have the best sandwich you ever heard. You know. Gonna be like that, but I was that guy, maybe I'd do that. But since I'm not that guy, closest thing I have to it is I had some really good Middle Eastern food, shawarma to be exact, like some really authentic shawarma, lamb's meat with beef, and it was so good. Mm-hmm. Different than what they ate at the end of Avengers. That stuff was like sandwiches, so this was traditional plate thing. But anyway, I went. What is that? 45 minutes away to eat that. And only but you only sit there for like a half an hour. So,
right.
I'm usually not a big fan of driving longer than it takes me to eat it. I usually don't like
that. When Same Sex Mary was out here for a concert and they were staying here at the house,
mm-hmm.
we drove across town, to the other side of Denver.
Yeah.
So, again, probably 45 minute to an hour long drive
mm-hmm.
to go to Sushi Boat Train. It's a place that used to be called Sushi Boat.
Okay.
And it's one of those places where you've got a conveyor belt that goes around the sushi bar itself, and they just keep putting stuff on there.
Mm-hmm.
And when something looks good, you grab it and you just keep the plate. And then at the end, they add up all the plates you've bought to know how much you've spent there. Like the more expensive things will be on a different colored plate or whatever.
Sure.
And the place went out of business or something. Somebody else bought it and couldn't keep the name Sushi Boat anymore, so they replaced the boat with a train, but they kept the shape of the sign, which was a big shape of a boat, and put Sushi Train on the sign. So it's like a big gondola shaped sign that says Sushi Train.
That's great. I freaking love that story.
It's so cool. So we took Same Sex Mary down there and went and had Sushi Train.
There's a Mexican place here that used to be a. I think I told you about this. The one that used to be a one of those old fashioned International House of Pancakes.
Oh yeah, right, with a gigantic the blue roof.
Yeah, and they changed it to La Morelia's Mexican something something. And I every time I eat there, I swear I taste maple syrup and everything. I swear. I'm sure of it.
Nice.
All right. So there's that answer. How about this one? Tiger Brand says, at the risk of alienating most of your listeners, do you have a favorite college basketball team? Not really. I don't care that much about college basketball.
No.
Maybe I alienate everybody because I don't have a favorite. I don't know.
If I did, it would be the UK Wildcats. Because my dad, UK, is that right? University of Kentucky Wildcats?
Is that right? The Wildcats?
Seems right, yeah.
Okay.
Because he was teaching out there and I bought a sweatshirt. And that's the only NCAA basketball team piece of clothing I own. So,
wow.
There you go.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, whenever Utah's in the playoffs or in the, Sweet 16 or something, I root for them. If BYU's doing some well one year, that's great because they're local. But I don't know. I just don't care that much, I guess. Mm-hmm. People would be like, people are screaming, USU or freaking, I don't know who else's a big
BYU. Doesn't BYU have a
they have a team? Yeah, we'll root for them when they win, but they don't win very often. I mean, they're okay.
They team, I guess not. Yeah.
They're okay. It's the most. I mean, once in a while they'll get Danny Ainge from BYU as an example. Once in a while you get somebody. I mean, that was forever ago, but Danny Ainge came out of there. BYU produced Jim McMahon. And freaking the Ty Detmer, and then who's the guy that was at San Francisco was so great for so many years. I can't think of his name now.
Wow, I don't know.
Anyway, we produce a fair number of professional athletes now and again, but it's been a while. Like if you scour around the NFL, you'll find players, and you'll go, oh, that guy went to BYU, that guy went to Utah, that guy went to USU, or that guy wherever. So you'll find them, but the big superstar Danny Ainge style, Steve Young, that's what I was trying to say. Okay. Steve Young types, we get one of those per decade. It's like one per decade. That's it.
Gotcha. I seem to remember that the Utes, you know, they make it to the March Madness thing every year, it seems like, don't they?
Yeah, the Utes do pretty good. They get in at least the early stuff, and sometimes they go pretty far. Yeah. They do okay. And Utah's... I might be thinking of Danny Ainge from Utah, not from BYU. I can't remember. University of Utah does have a history of fielding a good team. Fielding. Mm-hmm. Courting a good team?
Courting. It's even better. Courting a good team.
Final question here from Oscar the Assassin.
Oh, my
gosh. I feel
like
he shouldn't put that out there, you know? Like,
yeah, work detriment to your work if people know you what you do.
Yeah, it's like saying, who are you? I'm the Jackal. No, like you should say I'm Bill Simsworth.
Bill Clay. Oh god, you're one of them.
We saw that on Christmas. It was so good. Greek food or German food? I'm gonna say Greek. I don't really care for German food much.
No, you know, I like a good spetzel, but I'm more of a or spetzel, I guess it is. But I'm all over the Greek food, especially a good gyro, a good dripping with feta cheese gyro with some spanakopita
Like a really authentic one.
Uh huh.
So good. And they always got big sticks with meat hanging off of it, and
it looks like a Fred Flintstone log of lamb, and they're just like electric knifing that off the side right into the falafel, like into the pita bread.
It's the best thing ever. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
My first date with my wife, I took her to a Greek place because I love gyros so much.
Nice. What was the place? What was the mall place? Not Quiznos, but it's something name-wise.
We had one called Das Greek to Me.
Renzio's.
Oh, was that? I didn't know about that one.
You didn't have Renzio's out there?
No, we had one called Das Greek to Me, which sucked.
That sounds like it's German and Greek.
It does. It's awful. I hate that name. It was never a good name.
Yeah, Renzio's, man. That was the thing. Now it looks like there's only three in Denver anymore.
Renzio's, you say?
Renzio's, yeah.
Renzio's.
It's Greek food. Just in Colorado, Montana, and Wyoming. Well, there's six of them here.
Oh, you're right. There's a bunch in Colorado. Yeah,
two of them are called Cafe Athens now, but...
Are they a family-owned deal, like a authentic?
No, they were like a chain, a food court chain. Like you go to the food court, and if you didn't want Orange Julius, by golly, you were going to go get some Renzio's, and it was so good.
We do have some stuff downtown: Greek, the GR Kitchen, Greek Souvlaki, Greek City Grill, some really good stuff downtown. And every year they do a Greek festival in Salt Lake City, where they just deck out half the city in Greek stuff and parades and all that, but then the food, dude. Oh my gosh, the food.
Girls dancing around in white dresses with red and green trim on the ends and
guys with
around.
Stupid hats, like stupid little flat hats.
Yeah, that
too. Oh, you're making me want this
food. Love it. The food is always so good.
I know. It sounds really good.
Yeah.
I want to eat it now. That's it for your questions. Thanks everybody for making us hungry. If you'd like to send in your own questions, it's AskTMS. You put those in a hashtag on Twitter as in a reply or however you want to do it. That's great. You can reply to Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, or Coverville, or all three. It doesn't matter. Just use that hashtag, and it auto flags for me to read it. the very next week. We don't always get them all, but we get as many as we can. So keep trying. Doesn't mean if yours doesn't get read, it doesn't mean it was bad. It just means sometimes we didn't get to it.
But it could mean. It could mean it was bad.
Could mean it was terrible. Hey, frogpants.com/TMS is our website, and there you'll find our Patreon, patreon.com/TMS, if you'd rather go directly there. It's a great place to support the show. Without it, I'm telling you right now, and I mean this, there ain't no show.
No, we just give up, we quit, and that's it.
First few years, we're all about, like, just let's have fun, and then we're like, all right, we have to monetize this because it takes so much of our time. How are we going to do it? We found a way, and without that way, we are hosed. So thank you all for your support, those of you who are there. Know that you really do keep the windows open. That's not a phrase. You really keep the stove on. Nope. You really keep the lights on. That's good, too. Okay, and the stove open. Yeah.
The stove. Oh, gosh, close the stove.
Yeah, especially if you're Dylan McDermott and you're standing there.
Don't close it on your...
No, on your wee-wee.
Just close it. Just close it.
Your haunted penis. That's it. Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, Coverville on Twitter. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address, and you can find our Reddit page at frogpants.reddit.com. Feel free to hang out there. That's going to do it. Brian, we got to go, but we got to go with song. So what song are we going with?
Leave him with a song is what the Joker used to always say, but not like that. Stuart Cooper wrote in and said, hey, Boot and Scoot, it's January 26th is currently Australia Day. It's already happening, Scott. It's also 20 days since my 47th birthday, and as I'm getting old and forgetful, I forgot to ask for a request. If you could find a cover for me, I would love it, as I'm running a 5K on Australia Day. And the one he requested was Sounds of Then is Nicely Propulsive. Cheers from down under. Stuart. I didn't have a cover of the song that he was asking about, which is called Sounds of Then, This is Australia by Ganga Jang, which if there was ever a Australian sounding band, it's Ganga Jang. However, I do have a cover by, last time we did covers of Australian music, today it's covers by an Australian band, and a band from Melbourne in Victoria, made up of Tom Iansek and Joanna Syme. The band is called Big Scary. They formed in Melbourne in 2006. They've released two albums, a bunch of EPs, and had a bunch of singles come out. As a matter of fact, their song The Opposite of Us, which they released in 2016, ranked at number 17 on Triple J's Hot 100 of 2016 countdown. So they're good stuff. They also do this cover right here of Nirvana. They did it for the Triple J breakfast show, or the Triple J radio station out there. And it was released last year on Like a Virgin 13. Here is Nirvana's Come As You Are, performed by Big Scary.
As you were, Memory, yeah. Memory, yeah. Well, I swear.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Hey, it's two Oregon fish sandwich.